These people are wayside folk. First, they are hardened. Now listen to Matthew 13, verses 9 through 14. This is him explaining to his disciples about these wayside folk. He says here, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." That's important. You see, not everybody has ears to hear. And not everybody can hear. Because some people have hardened their hearts. And his disciples came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto them in parables?" He answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not, and hearing, they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing they shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing they shall see, and shall not perceive." Now the truth is, these people don't have much of a chance. They're on the fringe, and the seed just doesn't penetrate. Now, if you're not careful, you can start saying, well, why would God allow that? You see, what we're doing here is we're taking just a little nip out of time. We see these people, but we're going to look at how they got that way in a little bit. The next thing I want you to see about these people is that they are hardy people. Look at Romans 2, verse 16 through 25. "In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are most excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, a light of them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hast the form of knowledge and of the truth in the law. Thou therefore that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law, through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, For circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision." And notice what he's saying here. These people are haughty, and they think that they're good enough to go to heaven. You see, that's part of what hardens the heart. We can't hear the true gospel if we think we've got a better plan. When we think what we're doing is best, then nothing else is needed. A whole lot of people are going through this life, got their own plan. They don't want anybody to mess with their plan. Don't talk about my religion. My religion is my own personal religion. And nobody needs to say anything about it to me because I've got my own thing worked out. You ever heard somebody say, me and Jesus got our own thing worked out? Really? The truth is, that's just hardening of the heart. Because blindness comes on a person when they justify sin. When you can sin and feel all right about it because you do more good than bad in your mind, and that hardens the heart. Who needs a Savior when you can save yourself? Nobody's going to turn to Jesus as a Savior when they think they're doing all right themselves. So these people were haughty. But notice also, they were handicapped. Now listen to this. John 8, 42 through 47. Jesus said unto them, "If God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? If I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you are not of God. Now understand, the people that he's talking to are the Jewish people who were under the old dispensation of the New Testament, and they have crossed over, and they lived through the time when Jesus was born and crucified. And they're still alive. You see, some of the people were already looking forward to the coming of the Messiah. They were already saved, and they just were inducted into the church. Those are the people that Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." Why? Because God the Father has given them over to Christ to start the church. But then there were others, those that were practicing a ritualistic Judaism. They offered the sacrifices. They went to the feast. They slept in the booths. They did all the things of the law, but they never understood the purpose of the law. And so that handicapped them. They had a way. What did they say? We're Abraham's children. We've never been in bondage to anybody. How can you say you'll be made free? Jesus said everybody commits sin. It's a certain sin. When the Son sets you free, you shall be free indeed. You see, they were handicapped. Now, what we need to do is find out the cause. How did they get this way? There's a lot of people in the world today who do not have a good opportunity to be saved. That's not God's fault. You see, there are people right here. You don't have to go to Africa or India to find people who don't have a good opportunity to be saved. You can stay right here in Olive Branch, Mississippi. The way they got that way is that somebody back in their lineage turned against God. They got complacent. They began to say, I can enjoy Sundays better if I'm out on the lake fishing. I can enjoy Sundays better if I'm at home in my big easy chair watching football. I can enjoy Sundays better if I'm doing whatever I want to do. You say, well, does that send people to hell? Doesn't send the person to hell if they're saved who does it. But you know what it does? It takes a whole lot of advantage away from the children, because they don't get to hear the gospel. You see, they don't give the gospel on the football game. They don't give the gospel down at the lake. They don't give the gospel at the golf course. The gospel is pretty much here inside the church. And so those children grow up seeing no purpose for the church whatsoever. And then they raise their families the same way. And there's very little chance that they'll ever come in contact with the gospel, because they're on the wayside. Because they don't see a need. I asked a young man one time, I said, have you ever been saved? He said, from what? He had no idea what I was talking about, because he had never been churched. He had never heard about Jesus and his saving death on the cross and his resurrection. He hadn't heard about that. You say, well, that's not his fault. It's not his fault. It's his parents' fault. And probably their parents' fault. The devil tries hard. If you have a Christian family, the devil tries hard to get you offended at the church so you won't go. He's after your kids, your grandkids. Because he knows if he can separate you from church, pretty soon he can separate you from God. If he separates you from God, your children are going to suffer for it, and your grandchildren. Because you start a new tradition in your family. It's not a tradition of loving God, serving God, and going to the church. It's a tradition of doing whatever you want to do. and it follows along. You see, it's a dangerous thing. Listen to verse 4 again. When he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. How did they get on the wayside? See, that's the problem. Well, let's look. There was resistance on the part of somebody in their ancestry. Look at Isaiah 6, 9 and 10. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. That's the problem. God has sent blindness and hardness to them. You say, me, oh God, why would he do that? Well, let's move along. Look at the rejection that led to the resistance. Isaiah 5, this is just a chapter before. We just read an excerpt from chapter 6. This is chapter 5. Listen to this. Beginning with verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords of vanity, and sin as it were with a cart rope, that say, let him make speed and hasten his work, that we may see it. And let the counsel of the Holy One of Israel draw nigh and come, that we may know it. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward, and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him. Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them. And the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of the streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. Understand, that last little phrase means he's going to keep on with his wrath against this family. Understand something, folks. You are responsible for those who come after you. May all those that come behind us find us faithful. There is going to be a responsibility upon us for people years to come because of the decisions we make. The Bible says clearly, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Why? Because if we sin willfully, after that we come to the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. When we turn away from what we know to be the truth, there's no plan B. You know what God's plan of evangelism is? You teach your children how to be saved. You get them in church. You let them learn every bit that they can about God. And you show them how to share that and teach that to their children. And you tell them to pass this on to the next generation. And then you have a godly line. That's the responsibility that we have. That's God's plan of evangelism. If we all did that, there would be no need for missionaries. There would be no need for preaching in the streets. But you see, people get tired of church. People get tired, and they see no need. Oh, we've got our kids raised, and now we can do whatever we want to do. Well, the truth is, you still have a responsibility to help teach everybody and to encourage one another. You see, that it is not okay to slide away from God at all. Whatever keeps you away from church keeps you away from God. It's that important. People say, well, I could be a Christian at home. Yes, but can your children? Can your children learn about Jesus involved in whatever it is you're involved in? I'm going to tell you, you lessen their chances. Yes, they could be saved. Yes, somebody can get to them and rescue them. But you're taking a serious gamble when you do that. Because now you're leaving it up to somebody else when it's your responsibility. You know, there's welfare programs for families where daddy doesn't want to work. But you're taking a serious chance of your family going without if you choose that kind of a life. You see, there's always a plan B in our minds. But God's plan A is what we need to stick to. We need to do whatever we can to make sure the next generation has the truth. How precious is the truth of God's word to you? Pass that on to your children. You see, the reason these people in this particular time when Jesus came to the earth and was preaching, the reason they couldn't grasp the truth is because they were wayside hearers. But the reason they were wayside hearers is because somebody dropped the ball back down the way and they taught them incorrectly. They began to say, well, all you got to do is keep the feast. All you got to do is do the sacrifices. All you got to do is keep the law the best you can. As long as there's more good in your life than there is bad, you got me. And so the kids said, okay, that's what I want. And so they set themselves to doing that. And then they taught their kids the same thing because they thought that's where it was at. And no doubt many of them were buried and at their funerals. Everybody said, I know they're going to heaven because they were good people. They kept the law, best of their ability. And I know there was more good in their life than there was bad, so they're in heaven. And the whole time they're burning in hell. You see, God doesn't play. We do it His way, or we're out. That's the reason Jesus said, not everyone that calls me Lord, Lord will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons, and in thy name done many wonderful works. But then I will profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, for I never knew you. Notice what they named was good works. But the Bible says, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. That's salvation. It is easy to drift away from the true gospel when you drift away from the church. It is easy to drift away from the true gospel when you go to a church that doesn't preach the true gospel. Whatever is passed on to your children is what they're going to believe. Most children become what the parents are. Because the greatest influence that anybody will ever have on your child's life is you. It won't be your teachers. It won't be the preacher. It won't be anybody else but you. That influence is either for good or for bad. Now, if you were the devil, and that was the case, your strategy would be something like this. Get daddy too busy to go to church. Get daddy too distracted to ever teach the Bible at home. Get daddy too busy and too tired to go to church on Sunday. He did a pretty good job of it, didn't he? And what happens? Kids fall by the wayside. And then they have no idea that they even have a need for Savior. They're pretty good people. They live a good, clean life. Don't hurt anybody. Try to do the best they can. More good in their life than there is bad. Who needs a Savior? But you see, I don't know what God is going to do when we stand before Him. But there's going to be a serious consequence when we take the responsibility and let our children go by the wayside. I don't know what the consequence of that is going to be, but there will be a consequence. Because you see, whatever we teach, there's a recurrence. More is caught than taught. Listen to Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. You see, whenever we turn for everybody that comes after us. Whatever we choose for everybody in our line. You see, that doesn't seem fair. God has always dealt with families. Always has. You remember Korah? Korah was a man that was well loved. Everybody thought highly of Korah. As a matter of fact, he was so popular, he thought that he could force Abraham to let him take the job that Aaron was supposed to have because he was more popular than Aaron. So Moses said, what do we do about this, God? He said, tell Korah to get all his people, his children, the babies, everybody. Gather them out there in front of the tent. And I'm expect Korah thought they were going to have a population popularity contest. So he got them all. All these folks are with me right here. Moses said, Lord, don't let them die like anybody else has ever died. God opened up the ground and dropped them straight into hell, closed the ground back. First time I read that, I thought to myself, why would God take the babies and the young people and the wife? But you see, it works the same way. He may not drop your family off into hell. But if you make the wrong choices, you teach them wrong, that's the eventual outcome. One thing about it, those babies went to heaven. He probably rescued them, because they probably would have gone to hell had they not died. It is a serious thing to let your family be on the wayside. Serious thing. Don't do that. Now, what's the cure? We cannot go back and undo the past. Amen? Sometimes we wish we could, but we can't. Can't rewind in life. So how do we fix the problem? Let's suppose that we've seen the light. How do we fix the problem? Look what he says here. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside. Look at the future tense there. And the fowls came and devoured them up. This is in the future. And so we still have time to recover our children, our grandchildren. First thing we have to do is acknowledge our error. Listen to Jeremiah 4, 1 through 4. If thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Thou shalt swear, the Lord liveth in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. But thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. And you see what he's saying here? That sounds a lot like that sower parable, doesn't it? He says, break up the fallow ground. And don't sow among the thorns. What's he mean by that? How do you break up the fallow ground? You turn around and you undo what you have done. You see, anybody who is too busy to go to church needs to get unbusy. Anybody that's too busy to teach the Word of God in their home is too busy. It is not okay with God for you to not do that. It is not okay with God for you to say, well, I can't help myself. I have to do this or I have to do that. No, you don't. You see, there are some things we have to sacrifice to do what we have to do. And when we make the sacrifice, it may cost us. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that you can sacrifice your job and go get a better job. I can't tell you that. It may cost you. But it will pay great dividends to future generations. You have got to do whatever it takes to fulfill the responsibility that you have to your family. Go and ask somebody who has watched their families go the wrong way because of neglect. And then say, what would you do if you could do it over with? Oh, I would have them in church. I would teach them the truth at home. I would live before them the way I should. I wouldn't do the things that I've been doing. Well, the only way you can fix that is from here on. You can't go back. But you can start now. You can say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And you can go forward serving God with all your heart. Make a commitment to be in church with your family. You say, well, my family is already grown. Make a commitment to be in church for your family to see. And hopefully they'll do the same thing. You see, sometimes we have to just lead by example. Sometimes we miss the opportunity because our children have grown to teach them the right way. We have to show them the right way. He says, if you will return to me, I will return to you. That's a wonderful promise. You may have wandered off. You may have started allowing things in your life that you know your children would get in trouble if they did those things. Stop doing those things. Simple as that. You say, well, I can't. I'm hooked or whatever. Listen. No sin. I want you to hear this. No sin has the right to keep a Christian captive if they want loose. I'm going to say that again. No sin has the right to keep a Christian captive if they want to be loose. The Bible says, no temptation hath taken you, but such as is common unto man. And God will not allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation make the way of escape that you may be able to bear. Now some of you may not believe that, because you've tried everything in the world to overcome some sin in your life. Let me tell you something. The way of escape is probably happening before you ever realize it. You have to act quickly. I know I've shared my tricycle example many times, but I think it bears repeating. When I was in college, these kids would steal tricycles and see if they could ride down this hill. It was about that steep for a quarter of a mile on a tricycle. And they were too big for the tricycle, so they would put their feet back on the little stand in the back. And they would get on the tricycle and they would be ready to go down the hill. And they would, whoever was going to push them off would say, are you ready? And they'd say, ready. They'd give them a push. They'd make it about 40 yards. And then they would roll the rest of the way down the hill. And what was amazing to me is the next guy would get on his tricycle and they'd say, are you ready? He'd say, yes. And they'd push him off. He'd make it about 40 yards, roll to the bottom of the hill. And they would just keep doing this. And I thought to myself, if you could run along that first 40 yards with somebody when they began to see they were out of control, and you could say, "You want off that thing?" They'd say, "Oh, yes, get me off this thing." But you know where the place of avoidance was? It's at the top of that hill. When they said, "Are you ready?" They said, "No, get me off this thing." They could have got off right there. That was their way of escape. See, a whole lot of people want to toy with sin till it's way too late. They done passed up their way of escape. See, you can't get off that tricycle halfway down that hill. You got to get off before you get started. There's always a way of escape, but it comes early on. When the thought comes to your mind, dismiss it. You can do it then. You can't wait till it festers a while. You think about it, toy with it. Maybe I will, maybe I won't. Too late. See, we have to take some serious steps to rid ourselves of things that are going to destroy our families. The devil likes for you to compare your family to other families. Everybody's doing. You ever heard that? Everybody else does this. Everybody else gets by with this. Why can't I do this? Surely I can get by with it too. It worked that way. You know what the Bible says about that? Though hand join in hand, the sinner shall not go unpunished. That's pretty self-explanatory, you know? We can all vote. We can all say it's okay. You don't have to go to church with your family. You can worship God just as well at the lake or the golf course or wherever you want to go. We can make new rules. But God says, forsake not the assembling themselves together. Don't do it. But we all agree. I don't care. See, God's a majority all by himself. He makes the rules. And whenever we violate God's rules, we pay a price. But more importantly, our children, our grandchildren pay a price. It is a true fact that children raised by godly parents take them to church and to Sunday school and Sunday night and Wednesday night and pray with them and teach them at home and live godly before them, about 95% of those are going to get saved. And it is a true fact that those who neglect their children, who live in sin in front of their children, who avoid any kind of responsibility for their children, and never teach them about Jesus, and never take them to church, the great majority of them are going to go to hell. You see the responsibility we have. The cure is to return to God with all of our heart. Start doing what you can do today, tomorrow, and the next day. I'm reminded of the temple that Solomon built. It's a beautiful, massive structure. And it got torn down because of sin. God sent them back. They rebuilt the temple. Some of the old men that had seen Solomon's temple and they'd seen the new one, they just were weeping over it. And the Lord sent the prophet. He said, "Tell them, don't weep over this temple. If you will serve me from this day forward with all your heart, I will give this latter temple more glory than the former temple." You see, God can turn things around if we're willing. If we will serve him with all of our heart, sacrifice whatever you have to sacrifice. I want you to know something. Man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things which he possesses. We're not here to see how many toys we can have when we die. We're not here to see how much money we can have in the bank when we die. We're here to serve the Lord Jesus Christ with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with with all of our mind. And if we do that, it doesn't matter what else happens, we're successful. Bible says it's time to awake. And I believe if it was true back in Paul's day, it's bound to be more true today. Time to awake. Ephesians 5:14. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. You see, if we turn to God with all of our heart, we begin to serve God with all of our might, our children will catch on. You still have influence in your children's life. If somebody asked your child, would you say that your father is a positive or a negative influence in your life toward God? What would they say? I hope they would all say he's a positive influence. And if not, you can be. Why does he say awake to wake up? It's because we get lulled to sleep by the rat race and by the rut of our life. Sunrise, sunset. Sunrise, sunset. And we just keep on rolling. And pretty soon, we're on automatic pilot. God says you got to wake up. Don't live like that. You do whatever it takes to get you in God's groove, not in the world's groove. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father abides forever. You see, we must turn away from the world to God with all of our heart. And we have to accept what the Lord brings into our life. Isaiah 60, verse 1 and 2 says this. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. You are the light of the world. A city that's set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. You know what that means? You didn't sign up just to go to heaven. You signed up to serve God. When he lit your candle, he did not intend for you to go put it under a bushel and go about your business. Stop loving the world long enough to get saved and go right back to loving the world. You see, your light's got to shine first to your own family. Then it can reach out to others. And the Lord said, the world's going to get real dark. Boy, he's talking about us, isn't he? He's talking about our world. The world's going to get real dark. But the light of Jesus can shine through that darkness if you don't put it under a bushel. Now, the bushel is a bushel of neglect, bushel of too busy, bushel of rat race, bushel of a rut. It's a bushel of apathy. A bushel of who cares. But you see, God is still speaking to hearts. He didn't want any of those people that's on the wayside to go to hell. He says, not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so he speaks to those who have put their trust in him. Get rid of the bushel. Let your light shine. This old dark world needs to see that light. It's not your light. It's the light of Jesus. But if you have Jesus in you, if you get rid of the bushel, your light will shine. And you know in your heart what the bushel in your light is. God will tell you that. And then just deal. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as Savior, let me tell you something. Jesus came into the world to save sinners. If you're a sinner, he'll save you. If you call upon him and ask him to forgive your sins and save you by his grace. And when he does that, understand that you're signing up to be a light. You are a light, whether you know it or not, when you receive Christ as your Savior. The light may not shine, maybe under a bushel, but you are the light. You're the only hope this world has. If you take the Christians out of the world, all you got left is darkness. And that's what's going to happen during the tribulation. But you know what? We're not in the tribulation yet. Let's go out and shine our light. Let the whole world see. Let them glorify the Lord Jesus Christ, who is our life. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your goodness to us. Thank you, Lord, that we do have an opportunity to affect generations to come by the choices we make today. And Lord, keep us from making wrong choices. Keep us from not representing Christ in our families. And Lord, when we do mess up, give us the grace and the courage to ask forgiveness before our families, that they may know that we are serving the Lord Christ. And Lord, if there's one here that's never received Christ as Savior, I pray that this would be the day when they would put their trust in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.